Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we're so very appreciative of the fact that you're here in our midst, that all doors can be shut and locked, and you can still enter in, which you did and surprised the disciples. But here at the end time, you have said, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open that door, I'll come in. And Lord, then if you would of your own accord come into a room without invitation, simply to demonstrate and show yourself the resurrected one, how much more then will you come in if we open that door? And we have by grace opened that door, Lord. We believe we have. We believe that this is the hour of your presence, and we have, the best we know, made you more than welcome, especially in the sense of our own undoings and our own ways. For what are we in your presence, O God? Yet you have said that you would come in, and now we expect that, as never before, to see a fulfillment, to know we are in your presence, and absolutely unveiled according to your word, veiled and yet unveiled. And we accept you and know for surety that you are in the midst of the bride. And we appreciate that. We stand. We understand it, Lord. By revelation, we understand it. And we just count it as a fact. It's something. Reality is what it is, Lord. We're very grateful for it. Now help us in the study of your word, which we know you will do, which we just know you will do, Lord. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. We praise you for it and glorify your great name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, certainly nice to be back here. And, you get to the place where there's no place like home, even if it's like your mother's cooking, which might just about kill the neighbor's dog, but you like it because you're used to it. Well, however, that's not the case here. I'm very happy to be back with you, because this is really home. And to get to the place where to go away from here is to break my trend of thought and to be disruptive. So I just don't know how much more I'm going to get away, if I'm even going to bother to get away. A lot of that is a matter of my own personal, you know, personal personality, if there's such a thing as that. As I told him in Columbus, there's two men in the Bible that are fantastic. Paul the aged and John the beloved. Now here stands Levi the cruddy. So, ho, you know. That's what you couldn't do. I'm here and you're here and we love each other, and that accounts for a lot. Counts for everything. I want to get into a little study today. I was going to more or less just talk without notes, but something crossed my mind yesterday, and I began making notes, and there was something I found that hadn't crossed my mind. So I made my notes anyway. Now, I may never get back to what crossed my mind, or at least I thought crossed my mind, but eventually I will. And what came to my mind was about corruptibility putting on incorruptibility. And so that's the title of the message, Corruptibility Putting on Incorruptibility. And before I even read the exact words from the Scripture that you're already acquainted with, because I know you are, I would like to just mention to you now that what I am going to read is literally a sort of a corruption of what I'm going to get into, which means that I'm going to use this as a starting point, because it's valid, and yet I suppose I could go directly to other scripture to get to the core or the heart of what I have in mind, but it's related. And so I'm starting here and then going rapidly into the meat of the subject. I hope I haven't confused you. If I have, it's all right. You wouldn't be the first time you're confused, and it won't be the last time. 1 Corinthians 15:51-57. Now, you knew, of course, I'd read from there, because that's where corruptibility puts on incorruptibility. But we want to ferret out what it's all about. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. in the atoms, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, not before. That's the last church age message. For the trumpet shall sound. Now, evidently, Paul is warning the people that they're not going to believe this at the end time. That there will be an end time trumpet. That evidently is Revelation 10 and 7. Now, they're not going to accept this. They will accept and desire the change. Everybody wants money, but nobody wants to work for it. Yep. Hallelujah. Bring on the socialist government. Everybody starves. So, everybody wants incorruptibility, but nobody wants a trumpet. See? Now, I said, the trumpet shall sound. Maybe a lot of people are going to miss it. And the dead shall be raised incorruptible at that time. And we shall be changed. So that makes everybody change. For this corruptibility, which is corrupting now, must put on incorruptibility. And this mortal must put on immortality, so when this corruptibility, that which is corrupting, shall have put on incorruptibility, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then and not before then, shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O death, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. In other words, that's the policeman that says, I saw you do it. The witnesses that say, yes, I saw him do it. You're stuck. Thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ at the time of the trumpet. Which, evidently, people aren't even interested in. But they do like the results. They like the little old story we read years ago, you know. It was a little lesson in morals and industry. A little redhead found a grain of wheat, and she said, who will help me plant this grain of wheat? Not I, said the pig, not I, said the cat, not I, said the rat, not I, said anybody else. And she said, well, I'll do it myself. Now, she said, who will help me water this grain of wheat? Not I, said the rat, not I, said the cat, not I, said the pig, not I, said the rest, and she wants to water it myself. So, there came a time when the plant came to maturity, and she said, who will help me harvest this wheat? Not I, said the rat, not I, said the cat, not I, said the pig, not I, said the dog. She said, well, I'll do it myself. So, she said, who will help me mill this bunch of wheat? Not I said the cat, not I said the rat, not I said the dog, not I said the pig. She said, well, I'll do it myself. I said, who'll help me make this loaf of bread? Well, nobody helped her. But when she said, who will help me eat this? They all ran to help her eat it. And she said, hold it right there, buddy. Ain't nobody gonna eat that but me. And she did. Now, I'm not trying to preach this by Pinocchio, Cindy. And my good buddy Jim there. And I'm not trying to preach this by bedtime stories, but I am illustrating that which is like an Aesop's fable, which has a moral to it. And it's here. They don't want, evidently want this trumpet. Now, if God's going to do this, who needs a trumpet? See, that's it. No word of God is void of power. No word of God shall not be fulfilled. Now, as I said a while ago, everybody likes his mother's lousy cooking because they got used to it. I like this lovely word of God. I'm used to it. I don't have any trouble finding something that's going to come on the scene, whether I'm acquainted with it or not. What's that got to do with me? I got a bad habit. Well, in fact, you might as well admit I got several bad habits, but I didn't ask you, so shut up. I got a bad habit. I'm going to tell you about it. even my wife gets embarrassed. I go into people's homes and right away I can see things out of cater. Now, you can go into my home and see things out of cater too, but don't mention it. I'm about ready to turn things around in people's houses. So, you know, well, maybe that's not very nice. And I should, you know, attempt to turn things around. But look, when you get in this Word of God here, you let God turn things around. You let Him be there. Now, He says, at the time of the trumpet, God is going to make some changes. And that runs right in continuity with the message that we're going into. All right. It says here, corruptibility is going to put on incorruptibility. Now, what is He speaking of? The body. And make no mistake about it. This is a physical change that takes place in the bodies of the living, and it is the living members' answer to the resurrection of the decayed bodies of the dead. Now, Scripture distinctly says the dead are going to get revived, going to have brand new bodies. All right, what about the living? This is the living's answer to the dead's answer. You follow what I'm saying? All right. I know you do, but we'll read it. Romans 8 and 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now what that is subsequent to verse 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. I don't care if you are born again, you're going to die. It's appointed unto man once to die. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So you have the promise. You died because of sin, but you're righteous, so therefore you're going to come up. All right, the dead have their answer, resurrection. What is the answer of the living? Corruptibility putting on incorruptibility. The dead come back from ashes, dust, liquids, bone particles, and even gases, as they are recreated into the glorious form, which they will have. As Brother Branham said, God will create again, not through sex, but a creative act. He will take the petroleum, the potash, the calcium, the minerals, and so on. Cosmic light. He knows more about these things than I do. And He will recreate. So, the dead will come back from whatever form they are in, dust, particles, liquids, gases. With the living it is not so. They are changed without dying to the same glorious forms. Corruptibility, that which is corrupting, but not fully and finally corrupted. See, through the processes of death, but corrupted through the processes of dying. Puts on what cannot be corrupted. And therefore stops further any further or complete corruption in and because of death. Something comes in and says, hold it. From this moment, you don't go one speck older. From this moment, there is no further deterioration. But there is actually a reversal. A great victory now takes place. Never was it seen in the 6,000 years of the gladiatorial contest of death against man that a whole group gained a victory and temporarily stalled death in its tracks, and this whole group escaped irrevocably. Think of Paul in the arena. The Bible is full of it. Paul tells how that he was in the arena. They threw them to the gladiators as the main sport of the day. You begin to see death as the gladiator in the arena. And this is a spectacle. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Whether you want to believe this or not, it might shock you, but death is a spectacle. If you don't think it is, you just remember the last time you saw a person die. You just remember the last time you were at a funeral. The last time that you saw a loved one buried or noticed the sorrowful features of those loved ones remaining of the loved one that was buried. Death is a spectacle. It is a picture of the gladiator in the arena. Where there were two contestants warring at each other. One, a person trying to live, and the gladiator Death attempting to kill, and he does kill. Then notice the effect on the spectators. Death is a spectator. Now, after 6,000 years of the gladiatorial combats, the gladiatorial contest of death against man, a whole group is going to gain victory and temporarily stall death in its tracks while the whole group escapes irrevocably. It has never happened before, but it does now. So my subject is corruptibility stopped by incorruptibility. After 6,000 years of corruptibility, now comes the incorruptible. Now this is tremendous. Because it's never happened before. Never. See, you've dealt with resurrections. But you have never seen the clock stop. As those dead were coming out of the ground in Jerusalem, they were dying in Jerusalem. As the dead will be coming out of the ground in this age, they'll be dying in the streets. As the 144,000 Jews are immortalized, there'll be millions that are being slaughtered. That's right. But there is at this hour, while people are writing books on geriatrics, and as Dr. Lamb wrote a book, Get Ready for Immortality, and people are trying to sell every kind of nostrum and compound under high heaven and ladder ring goof-offs and goof-balls, are trying to tell you there's vitamins in the Dead Sea that will cause you to live for thousands of years? Hogwash. God will do it. But who needs God? Ah, that was a sly, nasty remark against those that dare to raise their voice against what we believe. But they have it coming to them. So my subject is corruptibility stopped by incorruptibility. After 6,000 years of the corruptible, now comes the incorruptible. Now, I mentioned I was going to sort of start off in a way that wasn't corrupting anything, but I have to take this tenor to bring you to what I want you to see as a tremendous truth in our hour concerning this incorruptibility that is now in our midst. And we are at the point that I'm asking you a question to give you insight. And the question is this: what is the root of the fruit of corruption? What is the root of corruption? What brought it? Whatever it is, there must come another root of the fruit of incorruption that overpowers the root of corruption. That's what we're looking at. Because death is in the human race. And it is death that started the corruption. For it categorically states in the specific language of the Hebrew, in the day of the eating thereof, dying, thou dost surely die. Neither Adam or Eve or anybody in that early period, later on, yes, neither they or others died within a 24-hour period. But death was already there, signifying a corruption was setting in. Now, doctors will tell you that when you get a certain age, you lose what they call elastin, the elasticity of the body. You begin to lose other factors. And try as you might, healthy as you are, you can be like a Dr. Jackson, who 90-some years of age could put his heels on one chair, his head on the other chair, and a 200-pound person could stand on him. Well, suddenly one night he goes to bed healthy as a tick on a blue hound dog, but he's gone next morning. What about Bragg? Bernard McFadden's son-in-law. One morning, stiff as a mackerel. What about Moses? Virile at 120. Why, he and Caleb had an Indian wrestle. He'd have thrown Caleb clean out of the park. And Caleb, what, 40-some years younger or so. But he's dead. Said they buried him on Mount Nebo. See? What is it? The answer is simple. And it's found over here in 2 Corinthians, the second chapter, verse 17, for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, so sweet speak we in Christ. Now we read it. But let's read the context. In verse 14, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved, in them that perish. To one, we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other, the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not, now listen, for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, as of Christ, in the sight of God speak we in Christ. Now, I admit that the word corrupt is not the same word which means rotting and decaying, which I read over here in the other scripture. It means to adulterate. But let's go to 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter and verse 2. Receive us. We have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. That's the same word, rotten. We made him, not made him rotten. We have defrauded no man. 2 Corinthians 11, beginning at verse 3. But I fear lest by any means as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. That's the same word, corruption, rottenness. For if he that preaches, cometh, preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, if we receive another spirit, you have not received another gospel, you have not except that ye might well bear with him, for I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. Now, with that also, over here in 1 Peter 1 and in 23, being born again, not a corruptible sperm of, but of incorruptible sperm of by the word of God which lives and abides forever. Now, let you know right there, the secret of the whole thing, that the corruptibility had to come from a source. And the source of corruptibility is death. And death's source is unbelief. And unbelief is the corrupting of the Word of God. Now, let's go back to 2 Corinthians 11 again. Now, you know what I read. I've espoused you to chaste virgin, but I've got a fear. Lest by any means a certain beguiled Eve through subtlety, so your minds be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. And that simplicity is pretty complex because three things enter in. A corruption of the gospel. A corruption of the person of Christ. A corruption of the Holy Spirit. All of those things are there. Now with it, you'll notice Paul said, for I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge. But we have been made thoroughly manifest among you in all things. Now, Paul is attributing everything here to a knowledge. And he is attributing corruption to a knowledge. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that ye might be exalted? Because I preached to you the gospel of God freely? I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. When I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brothers which came from Macedonia supplied, and in all things I kept myself from being burdensome unto you, so I'll keep myself. And he says this because, you see, he started out in the second chapter by saying, I never made merchandise of the gospel, which the only way I could have made merchandise was by changing what I was preaching, and then you'd have poured money into my lap. Keep thinking, honey, you're thinking. Just let your thoughts go wild for a while. Then you'll know where the dough is. And then you know why the church has got it. Yep, just join the church, pay money, have your bugaboo suppers, your oyster dinners, pay your for your masses and your candles and everything else. Now, as the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth. But what I do, that will I do, that I may cut off occasion from them that desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. Now, if you think they didn't have trouble back there, you wonder why we've got trouble today. I don't want anybody ever leaving this building or this message say, well, Brother Bill, there's too much trouble. Well, just wait till you go to hell, honey. You'll have more than trouble. I know people don't like jokes. They can't stand my jokes around the country. But let me tell you, there's a little funny thing. I can't exactly repeat it. But you better get this out of your head. Because a lot of people just may be that way. It said, if you're sick, well, don't worry. There's only two things can happen. You'll get better, you'll get worse. And if you get better, you've got nothing to worry about. Now, if you get worse, there's only two things to worry about. You'll get worse and die. And he said, and if you die, there's only two things to worry about. You go to heaven or hell. Now, he said, if you don't go to heaven, he said, you'll go to hell, but you don't need to worry. You'll be so busy shaking hands with your old friends, you won't have time to worry. I've got news for you. That's not true. You really will worry. You really will have trouble. And you'll say, I wish I was back there in that age where all that fighting went on. I wish I was back there when somebody stood up for the truth and stood up there and dared to defy men. If you want to be yellow-bellied and run around, you can't take this. Well, be my guest, walk out, because I got news for you. It's going to get hotter. It's only begun to get hot. And it's only begun to get good. Let me tell you something, and I'll elaborate later on. I'll give you the illustration. But two things have happened in the last 16 months that make me wonder if this word that I am preaching under the anointing of the power of God, when I say you will never leave this building unchanged, was a spirit cast out of two men by the preaching of the word of God, because those men are radically changed, and I will tell you about them. The gates of hell were against Paul. They were against Brother Branham. And they're against you. Don't think old Eve Hale's the only dog going to get it. They'll cut all your hair off, too, pretending they're looking for fleas. Now listen. What I do, that I'll do. I might cut off occasion for them which desire occasion, that when they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles. Deceitful workers. Transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. No work of the Holy Ghost. It's their own work. And Brother Branham said the Christian side will make you and me look sick when it comes to love. He said the jackass will outwork a horse any day. Many more of the children of she which is desolate than she that hath a husband. Transform themselves unto apostles of Christ. That means the highest order there is in the whole Bible. apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors, deceitful workers, transform himself into the apostle of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Satan himself, a messenger of a corrupted word. Devil's got his own religion. He's got his own fivefold ministry. He's got his own word. He's got his own church. He's the head of it. He's going to incarnate himself over a body just the same as Jesus is going to do. He follows and dogs the footsteps of Jesus Christ to imitate him and walk him. And don't you think he doesn't? And don't you think there won't be an answer in this hour to the Prussia? There will be. But I've said it before and I'll say it again. If I'm wrong, I will not die the death common to men. I'll likely be here for the great tribulation. If I am right, there'll be men standing here and they will not die the death common to men. Let's get this straight, brother, sister. We're not playing around. See, people thought I was playing around. They found out. I get letters of apology right now. It's too late. I don't play your game the second time around. See, it sounds a little tough, but look, I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to let you know something. See, for the trumpet shall sound, then God will raise them. Nobody wants that trumpet sounding because it declares war. If you want peace, then get yourself a Santa Claus. Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Yeah. That's what you want. Get yourself a Santa Claus in a sleigh. Because you ain't fit for the kingdom of God. I'm not, you're not, nobody is. Too many Santa Clauses. No marvel. People marvel. What are you marveling at? Marveling that there's a fight? Satan transformed. There's a great apostle of light coming with the word of God. Coming perverted. Do you know he's the head of every seminary? The head of every Bible school? The head of every organization, denomination? The head of every welfare, charitable, religious movement? I showed you the last time I preached here where Cain was. He brought the fruit offering. Bypassed the blood. He headed the social organization based on the Bible. Works, works, works. So Lee Bale comes along and he says, well, it is not character. So now I'm branded plumb across the world. They're taking every tape and saying, well, Lee Dale says that your character doesn't amount to anything. It doesn't matter. I'll meet those guys down the road.
Amen.
Amen. You bet I'll meet them down the road. Because I never said that. Any more than the prophet. Brother Brand said that great thing coming is not character. Now, if you say he's the prophet of Almighty God, and I parrot what the prophet said, yea, I understand it, and speak with revelation what the prophet said, then I'm just as real as the prophet when it comes to that word.
Right.
Haven't said one thing against what the prophet taught. In fact, I added to it. And I said, if any age should demand character, this age should have it. But it still won't get you there. Satan transformed. Transform means he's no longer the devil. No. He's out to win souls. He's out to stop wars. When it's convenient. Listen. Don't you understand when the beast comes, no man can start a war or stop a war? Who's doing it? The devil. Mr. Satan, Mr. Beelzebub, not Mr. Jesus the Christ. Not Mr. Jesus the Bride.
Let's all go serve the devil. See why they get stuck? They can't tell. They can't tell where corruptibility is and incorruptibility. They don't understand what the root is. That's because they don't want to understand. Okay? 13 and 15 Padini, such are false apostles. Who are they? Coming against Paul. How'd they come against Paul? Not on his life, but against the word. Deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. Never had a call. They make their own call. Never had a true birthed in them Christian virtue. They make their own. I remember years ago I saw a woman. I knew her very well. She was mean as the devil. In fact, I think maybe she was a sister. Could well be. She admitted it. She said, Brother Vail, I was losing my husband. I was losing my kids. I came to myself. And I turned right around. And she thought she was born again. She was no more born again than nothing. No way. A legalist Pentecostal is no more born again than nothing. So don't kid yourselves. But I'm going to tell you, she transformed herself. And that's why people, they don't understand this message, which I am preaching on the grounds of Brother Branham, as I understand it, and the best I can possibly do, that if God doesn't do it, it's not going to be done. And that's what I'm telling you about these men I'm talking about. Where one man could not love his wife. No way, shape, and form he hated her, though he had children by her. She'd been groceries. He'd pelt her with groceries. Brutalized her to the place where she went off and had another man. Drove her to it. But sitting under the word, something happened. And he loves his wife more than he loves his own life. You tell me. That man could no more transform himself than nothing. Same with another man. I'm not a prophet, you know it, and I know it, and everybody else knows it. But how come on those occasions I stood before the people and I said, you'll not leave this building unchanged, there's no way. And they don't. Is Lee Vail changing somebody? You gotta be nuts. I can't change myself. And I wouldn't care to change myself. And the prophet said it wouldn't work anyway. And I admit it. You can pick on me because I'm a no good louse. That's fine. But I got news for you. And I've already told you. If you are not a beggar on a dung heap, if you don't smell like manure, if you aren't a skunk skinner like William Branham, you will never be a prince with God, so forget it. You're too nice for Jesus. Because he was born over a manure pile. Yeah, born over a manure pile. God. People are funny. But Satan comes around. And he'll do the transforming. Oh, he's clever. Let's go to 1 Timothy 4, 1 to 2. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly. Oh, you know what Paul's saying? He said, I'm windswept by the Holy Ghost. I'm talking. I'm the voice of God. And here's what he said. In the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Where did corruption come from? The devil. Corruption is the result of the doctrine of devils. People are dying right today because of the devil's doctrine. This is speaking lies and hypocrisy. What does that mean? They know better. They know the truth has been manifested. They know what a vindicated prophet said. You mean to tell me a prophet would stand here with the word and be different from the Apostle Paul? Hogwash. But it's like Brother Branham said, now if he were the Lord, he would come down a beautiful red carpet straight from heaven, and he would come and say, Caiaphas, here I am. I have come to elevate you. Or is that Alabama or Georgia? Hypocrites. Knowing better. Because their conscience is seared with a hot iron. Oh, God. Do you understand what I'm saying? It comes in adultery. In England. It took the most complex machinery the BBC had to get the noise out of the tapes that condemned a woman and a man. A little 12-year-old boy was brought into the home, and he literally forced that boy to have intercourse with his wife. What kind of a conscience did he have? Seared, he could stand there and do it and murder the poor little kid. And had fun recording the screams. How would you young mothers like to have that perpetrated on you? You know where it came from? Doctrines of devils. People who know better. Seared. Conscience seared. Sit around. Think nice thoughts. Yeah. Think your nice thoughts. And you know why? This afternoon, Brother Branham said, I would sooner have the oath of Columbus perpetrated on me, which is open your belly and pouring sulfuric acid, than have 10 minutes in the Great Tribulation. Get away with what you want to get away with. Some young people may think every old Vail's a nice guy and he has a lot of laugh, but every now and then the old iron hand comes down. You wonder why it comes down? Because I love you just enough to let you know what the truth of Almighty God is. I've got to face it, you've got to face it, and I know reality's here staring me in the face. But I'm a part of that reality by the grace of God. I don't care what men say. Fuss at me all the way. I give them plenty to fuss at me for. Don't worry. I'm not blaming that onto God. I opened my big fat mouth, and I knew the judgment was going to fall. It's falling right now, but who gives a rip? Let them sit with me. You'll hear worse than I've ever said. Not being proud of it. But the truth, the Spirit speaketh expressly in the latter times. They'll depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. Not raping spirits, seducing spirits. Oh, this is something nicer. That's what Cain said. Blood and guts and stink and rot. Oh, merciful God. What's this talk about Jesus being born over a manure heap? What's this talk about him shedding his blood? What is all this stuff? See, social gospel. Now you got the same thing right today. Men like Duplessis that took the Pentecostal church right into the harlot's lap. Stood up and he said, that man that condemned people, he's condemned himself. He got killed. Duplessis knew better. But he did it. You think this false anointing don't know better? If you say they didn't know better, then you have made William Branham a liar, a flat out right liar. Because he said iniquity is to know to do and won't do it. And I think he said another place iniquity is to know not to do it. And you do it anyway. Seducing spirits. Dark.
hell.
I'm not running a guy down. Let me tell you flat. I've got more than he'll ever have as far as friends and everything else are concerned. I'm not trying to put my hand on anybody. I'm trying to show you something. I keep telling people this could be the last trip I'm going to make. It's the truth. I don't want to go on the road anymore. I'm tired of it. I'd sooner be here. And I'd sooner not one tape leave this room. I'd sooner have the tape for one reason, as a reference. I'm sick and tired of everything out there. Who's going to believe that these men have seared consciences? Nobody's going to believe it. Not even the elect. They're too nice. You have to be a Brother Branham with the spirit of discernment on you. Be a prophet. And they hug, say, Brother Branham, I love you. Got a dagger with serrated edges, rusty, serrated, twisted edges under the fifth rib. Professing love in Christ and living with other women. Preaching a polygamy doctrine. Now get the irony of this one. Here's a man preaches polygamy. So now he's got a nice young woman that he's having sexual relations with. Now the people are up in arms. What for? They sat there and listened to polygamy as being a covenant. Why fuss at the preacher if he's got a girlfriend or it's his wife now? Because he's got a covenant with God. He should have more than one wife. What kind of jackasses? There it is, Brother Bay. Watch your language. What kind of spiritual jackasses? What kind of idiots? What kind of stupidity lies in them? To listen to that humbug jackass nonsense built from the pit of hell. And sit there and grin. Oh, it's a covenant. It's a covenant. It's a covenant. And then the guy gets in the covenant. Well, if you've got a covenant with God, you should honor the covenant. But now they're upset. If so be it's happened, what I hear has happened. And you know something? I'm on the preacher's side this time. Not the... Oh, shut up. I'm serious. You guys laugh in the wrong places. I'll be down here at the club and murder you. Listen, I'm serious. I'm on the preacher's side. I don't believe that he's doing right. But if he preached it and they believed it, what right have they got to rise up against it? They're hypocrites. Not the preacher. I'll tell you what he is. Eyes full of adultery. That's what he is. A hypocrite, a phony, and a farce. But what are they? And they said, oh, yes, it's right. Oh, yes, it's right. Oh, yes, it's right. And then he gets himself the girl. I don't understand. Conscience seared. Hypocrites. You think it's not going on? There's worse things than that, though. Let's go to 2 Peter. Go to the second chapter. Here's what I like, because it hits them teachers. I'm not a teacher. I just got a gift of teaching. Oh, they got to wake up early in the morning. Well, that's what the prophet said. Didn't say to teach, said he had a gift of teaching. Handle the scripture. Yeah, but there were false prophets also among the people, even there, so there'll be false teachers among you who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them. And that word deny means to say no to or decline or refuse him. Teachers at the end time saying no to the Lord. Bringing swift destruction. Now hold it!
end time. Swift destruction. Great tribulation. False teachers saying no. Disapproving. Disapproving as in Hebrews. Can't stand the presence. Many shall follow their pernicious ways. Pernicious ways? Yes. No blood. There's no blood for them. The blood doesn't cover that. Where there is no word, there is no blood.
Something's wrong. By reason of whom the way of truth shall be spoken of.
And he is the truth. And his way is to appear at the end time. You be here to lead us in, and they'll say, oh no, that's not so. They'll mock. The scoffers. And through covetous shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. Talk about Roman Catholicism. Talk about selling men's souls in the Catholic Church. I'm going to tell you something. These boys in this message could give the Catholics a lesson. I told you years ago that if I had to toss up between mama whore and the young whores, I'd take the old whore any day. Because the young whores have learned all the old whores' tricks plus a whole lot of their own. Let me tell you right now, Flapper Grandma, who went out there and picked up a few men, can be taught more tricks by a six-year-old out in the street than old Flapper Grandma knew. I almost put the Catholic Church in the steam alongside of these birds. Through covenants with feigned words make merchandise of you. Just something for you to handle. For them to handle you. To get an advantage. To pick your pocketbook. To run you. To bust up your marriages. To run your home. To have the wife report to them instead of to the husband. If you've been around the world, you know some of the guys I'm thinking about. And it's feigned words. Lies. Whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not. And their damnation slumbers not. It tells you right here, this ain't going to go on very long. And God's not going to put up with it very long. The tribulation cannot prove it to you. For if God spared not the angels of sin, but cast them down to hell, delivered them into chains of doctrine, be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turned the city of Sodom and Gomorrah to ashes, condemned as an overflow, making them an example unto those that live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, the righteous man running among them, seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and reserve the unjust unto the day of punishment. He tells you right there that he'll get rid of them the same as he got rid of them in the flood, then hold them over to the white throne and throw them in the lake of fire. Now, you might not like that. Well, I'll tell you one way not to like it. To like it is you just get on God's side, then you're going to like it. A lot of people don't like this kind of hard preaching. Oh, now, Brother Bill, you don't preach this kind of thing and that kind of thing because that's not nice. Well, then you don't have a nice God because it's in His Word and the Holy Ghost that the Spirit speaketh expressly. Or what? I will ask you one question like I asked you before. Would you sooner burn than them? Now, if you've got such a great sympathetic heart, I'll tell you what you do. There's a lot of paraplegics out there. You just pray to God that you become a paraplegic instead of them. Now we're getting right to the nitty-gritty. We already had the great one who thought enough to become a paraplegic, that Jesus Christ the righteous. He doesn't need any following act. He, by one act, superseded every act until there's no action comparative. So let us not get maudlin and full of sentimentality. Brother Branham went to India. You think it was easy him to pass by all the little kids? Give one kid a nickel, give every kid a nickel. Now, I can fool with your little kids and, you know, I shouldn't do this for the mothers. If the kids ask for quarters, I encourage them. I think it's fun. Later on, I'll bop them for you. Don't worry. I'll help you up, Mama. Don't worry. But look at, merciful God, if I were to try to give every kid in the world a quarter, who can help me? We knock over a few banks? That still won't do it. There's not enough banks with anything in it to give every kid a quarter. See, you gotta come a time here when you gotta put things back on God. You gotta go God's way. You're plumb out of the ballpark. Now it says here, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed, and you're not to speak evil English. Now what government are they despising and going against? God himself denying him. And he is down here at the head of the church to put the church in order, to raise the dead, and they despise him. Look, the days of the Son of Man precede the great tribulation. That's what they're talking about. I'm not making this up, so I make this up to make scripture fit. Brother Brand said every time you look in the Bible, that's all you'll see is this message, and that's all I see is this message, because it is the message. What else is there? The trumpet shall sound. Yeah. Dead's going to be changed. Yeah. Oh, God, you do the changing, but don't sound the trumpet. And God said, where were you when I laid the foundation to dig? With whom did I take counsel in my foreknowledge? Well, it just isn't that, Lord, but we think maybe you could have been a little smarter. Oh, yeah? Chiefly them to walk after flesh, despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed, not afraid to speak evil of dignities. No, you bet they're not. What dignity? You think these guys are dignities? They're not dignities. They speak evil of dignities and dignitaries. Oh, certain brother wouldn't dare to make Brother Branham God to the people. Oh, no, well, he was as God, you see. Yes, he was as God. Let me just read you something over here that the prophet quoted, which he always neglects. And Jesus said, many good works have I showed you from the Father, for which of these you stone me? And the Jews said, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because thou being a man makest thyself God. And Jesus said, is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? If ye call them gods, unto whom the word of God came, the scripture cannot be broken. Then the prophets are gods. Well, you say, Brother Bill, that's blasphemy. You're the blasphemer. You're the liar because you deny the word of God. Now, the shoe's on the other foot. Now, the guy's got two left feet. And he's got a big tongue that's going to strangle him one of these days. Because by the word you're justified and by the word you're condemned. Oh, they're not afraid to speak evil. Now, just a minute. Before you can speak evil of a dignitary, you have got to make up a lie about the man or twist or pervert something. But if that man is in literal sin, that's a different story. A lot of people think you just put the cap on everything and let the pot boil. Oh, nothing is revealed. You just preach a little old going on something. How come at the end time Brother Branham stood there in the Word? Even he, who is the Word, the Logos, discerned every heart. And you know why he had to stop doing it? Because the people rose up against it. They wouldn't take it. What do you think the church lost when sin could not be revealed in the presbyters and the fine preachers that were on the platform living in adultery, no less? But it's thoroughly sanctified, you see, because they talked in tongues. I'm not giving you a bedtime story. I talked with the prophet on these subjects, brother, sister. Now it says they'll perish, these as brute beasts made to be taken, destroyed, speak evil of things that they understand not, utterly perish in their own corruption. Now, what is he talking about? False prophets, false teachers shall come in with heresies, refusing the Lord to bring swift destruction. If these men had acknowledged him, the destruction would not be as it is. It was the same thing in Jesus' day in flesh. If they would have acknowledged him, the kingdom of God was already nigh. They could have walked in. And the same thing happens today. They turn him down so they can't walk in. They count it pleasure to write in the day. Their spots and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. While they feast with you, yes. A man came into the wedding supper not having a garment on. Brother Branham, what does it mean? It means they'll sit right amongst you. But nothing's being done for them. They attended his meetings. Sat right there screaming hallelujah. And a bunch of them turned around and made him Jesus Christ of all the hogwash. Insanity. Perversity. Devils. Having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin. Beguiling unstable souls. And heart that they exercise with covetous practices. Cursed children, which have forsaken their right way. And gone astray, falling the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the ways and righteousness. Now who's he talking about? Teachers in the last day. Bring it home, brother, sister. Chickens are here and roosting. You're not looking down the road when you read this. You're looking right today in the churches. And those that say they believe this message, don't you leave them out. Love the wages of now, forsaken the right way, gone astray, fallen the way of Balaam, the son of Bozer, who loved the wages of righteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. My golly, I guess I insulted that dumb ass, didn't I, by calling people right in. Had to apologize to a louse not long ago. Got to apologize here now. Well, you live and learn. I'm going to try to be a better person. Seas are wells without water. Clouds carried it out with the tempest. To whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. For they speak great swelling words of vanity and lure through the lust of the flesh much wantonness. Those that were a clean escape from them who live in air. Now it tells you right there they promise them things that absolutely won't come to pass. New York promised that New York would bring down the capstone loaf. It was already down. If New York could bring it down, it means that New York was bright and nobody else was bright. I don't have the revelation. I have a revelation of a bride, and in my mind's eye, God is my judge. I see a bride that's all around the world, but I see her one and him in the midst. I don't know how I do it. I have no understanding of how I do it. All I know is that if I had a lead mountain 50 million miles wide, the glorious resurrected form of Jesus could pass through it quicker than a thought. And what about the Holy Spirit standing here? He can be in the midst of the bride, and my mind does not see a bride scattered. My mind sees a bride that is unified, and I see him in the midst. Don't ask me how, just believe me. I'm not giving you great swelling words and lines. You know I don't. Listen, I said, stand beside me. Pray as you never prayed before. If I'm lying, let God kill me on this spot. Of course he isn't going to do it because it's not the hour. But the hour is coming. The hour is already here, but he's still not doing it. He's not going to do something like this to me, but I'm sincere. But I'll tell you, I will meet you down the road. I will meet you on the other side. And I'm not lying to you. My mind has gone crazy. It's gone wild since this thing happened. I can see a bride. And I don't care if there's one in Africa, one in Timbuktu, one at the North Pole, one at the South Pole, half a dozen here and there, though most are in America. Somehow I know in this lies a mystery. He's in the midst of her. See? Now, great swelling words, promising liberty. They themselves are the servants of corruption. Why do they promise liberty? To trick them. To get them in their camp. What have I ever promised you? Nothing. I'm giving you up to scare the living daylights out of you. I've told you this and I'll tell you again what word you believe. And I don't care who you are here because I cannot read your hearts and minds. Whatever word you believe is going to come back on you and you will be what you are according to that word that you believe. Now what have I promised you? Nothing. I have a controversy with the pastors who try to make Brother Branham say, follow your leader, your pastor. He's ordained to get you there. What about these birds? Well, I can take Brother Branham's words and say, yes, follow your pastor. You're false and he's false. He'll get you there. I don't buy that nonsense, brother, sister. No way. Listen, everything I say is on tapes. I don't care what men say about those tapes. I know what's on those tapes and what's in my heart, why I say it and how I say it. It's your revelation that will come back on you. And if that revelation is correctly one of immortality, you'll be immortal. You better believe it. Promised liberty. For if they have escaped through the pollution of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, again entangled therein, and overcome the latter end is worse than the beginning. Ha! Started way back there in Paul's day. What's it today? Worse than ever. What started back there is a small thing. The little tiny seed of the octopus has become a worldwide octopus, controlling everything. Who better than not knowing the way of righteousness? Then once they know it, turn from the holy commandments every unto them. That's true. But it happened according to the true proverb. A dog to his vomit. The sow to the wallow. Sure. Those verses 14 and 16. Eyes full of adultery. Beguiling of stable souls. Can't cease from sin. Hearts exercised with covetous practices. Cursed children. Forsaken the right way, gone astray, follow the way of Balaam, the son of Bozer, love the ways of righteousness. Well, that's what is reduced to a living. That's what is reduced to a living. Boy, don't think I wouldn't like to have $1 million in bonds and not have anybody ever give me a plug penny just to bond the interest. One of the greatest temptations I have in my life is to give people back tithe that they gave me. Say, here's your money, here, take it, get out of my life. I'm a rough customer, and I'm glad I'm rough instead of sweet. Because I'd have to go along with the person if I just wanted his money. Fact. I've got a God who more than supplies needs. I've got a God who right down the word said, if you learn to give, you will have enough in your pocket every day of the month and year in which you live to give to every cause. I can do it by the grace of God. Because I follow the Bible rules. You follow the Bible rules. Listen to me, people. We're not playing around here. I don't talk to you about money and teach you tithing and this and that. But let me tell you, perhaps there's a day coming when you wish you had done it. Yeah, because I can. And I'm not rich, but I'm rich in Him. Oh, yes, it took sacrifice. I didn't have the 30,000 buck salaries like some of you people have, and you quibble and argue what way you're going to get along. I'm going to say one thing. Shame on you. You had better learn a few things in your lifetime before it's too late. See, I told you, when you've been where I've been, you can sort of get up and, you know, do a little toe dance. And I'm not proud of Lee Dale. I could do better still. I told you, all years ago I learned no gimmicks. I tried gimmick once. No gimmick. I spelled my gimmick in three letters. Capital G, capital O, capital D. And he is not a gimmick. my provider, my sustainer. You talk to my wife. She'll talk. Now, Torsey, listen, girl, let's face it. We've never trusted God. And we'll go down that road one day yet where it's going to be God or nothing. And it was. And you know what? It wasn't nothing. It was God. You don't have to pull deals and gimmicks. These guys are gimmickers. Okay? Cursed children, gone after the money, rebuked for his iniquity. He knew to do better. He knew not to do it, but he did it anyway. What did God do? Use an animal. Can man sink so low that God has got to take an animal? Yeah. People can't see the handwriting on the wall, but the environmentalist can. And he said, see, it's all dying out there. And we'll never get it back. The last carrier pigeon died. Passenger pigeon. We'll never get it back. The Abaddon Society is running an ad right now. Even the grizzly bear is just about extinct. They thought the alligator was extinct, but he's coming back. How many birds do you see out here that a few, when I was a kid, the fields were full of birds. Where are they today? Well, tell me where they're at. The environmentalist knows more just naturally than these guys do. God showing in the brute beast. Sure. Letting him know what's happening. Okay. Let's go to Revelation 2. Remember, I'm reading lots of scripture today. We got lots of time because we got communion service coming on. Revelation 2, 12 to 14. To the messenger church of the Pergamos, write these things, he that has a sharp sword with two edges. I know your works. You dwell where Satan seat is. You be and hold fast my name. Has not denied the faith, my faith. Even in those days when Antipas, my faithful martyr, was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I've got a few things against you. Because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam. Now look, it started right back there in the third church age at the time of Constantine when Rome became the first organized church. Money and sex. Fornication, of course, in this respect is even worse than physical sex because it is the union of idolatry with the Word of God and the Nicolaitan doctrine to hold in position, to enforce it, to make it a society. That's where it started. Now, 18 to 24, the same chapter. This is 900 years of the Dark Ages. This is when the church fell into the ground. The corruption became horrible. And notice these things said the Son of God, his eyes like flame of fire and feet like fine brass. Now listen, already here, he is starting to judge. The same one in Revelation 1, that John turned to see, feet burning as in a furnace, judgment, the white wig. Gird about the path. I know your works. Charity, service, faith, your patience. The last more than the first. Notwithstanding, I've got this against you. Because you suffer that woman Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication, to eat things sacrificed unto idols. All right, you know as far as the eating of the idols are concerned, it's nothing. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. He's telling them right here what it is they have substituted the Word of God for creeds and dogmas and mythology. I gave her space to repent of her fornication. She repented not. Now listen, the church was given the opportunity. And he said, I've already judged her. She's going to be cast into a bed. Then to commit adultery with her into the great tribulation. A bed of pleasure that goes into tribulation. I'll kill her children with death. It's already marked out, spiritual death, even the lake of fire. All the churches shall know that I am he that searches the reins and hearts. and give everyone according to your works. Now he said the churches will know. And that didn't happen to the seven church age. Under discernment. Now you can see in here what the word was speaking of. Where it was going to. Now let's go to Jude. That's just before the book of Revelation. I want you to see this corruption. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother James, them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called mercy unto you, and peace, and love be multiplied. Beloved, I give all Jesus right unto you, the common salvation is need for me to write to you, and exhort you should earnestly contend for the faith which once delivered the saints. That's once for all delivered. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation of godly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, denying the only Lord Jesus Christ, denying the only Lord God, and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now you notice, it's the same thing that Peter talked about. At the last day, they're going to deny him. And what is it? It's Exodus time. Get your marks lined up with Exodus. See? People read this and they snort. And listen, let me tell you flat, it's the same words as Peter. The angels left their first estate, Sodom and Gomorrah. It's a revelation of the end time. Turning the grace of God to lasciviousness. Denying, how? Denying the only Lord Jesus. The only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. They're denying it. They're denying His presence. Now, I will therefore put your remembrance that you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that not believe. Now, that's Exodus. Now notice, Baal Peor was going in. When they got in, they turned to Jezebel doctrine. Now, you've got the people coming out with this message. The first thing when they came out of Babylon, they were confronted with the Balaam doctrine. And the Balaam doctrine is, let's make money. False anointed golden calf. Now they came out and they turned to Jezebel. Which is every Tom, Dick, and Harry preaching every cotton picker thing the prophet didn't preach. I got a tape just given me the other day from Terry. Sent it down the minute. And I said, Terry, why did you send me this tape? I said, it was because brother so-and-so was reading about this man's experience. And he said, yes, Lee, I can't follow it. I said, I can follow and tell you, this guy falls for everything. He was quoting from a man who had an experience. And in his experience, he's supposed to be dying. I can get you the tape and play it. If I believe that crap, I'd go ahead and believe Laura Johnson Grubb, because she's a woman that was supposed to have died, came back walking on her toes, with souls getting saved, and she's got some kind of hootie-dootie hoochie-coochie thing. I think she divorced her husband last I heard. I don't know. Merciful God, let me there have a vision or something. Then you're going to follow him. Am I talking to a bunch of spiritual idiots here today? I'm going to crack your heads open and see if there's something in there besides hogwash and sawdust. If you've got God inside of you, what are you going to follow? Are you going to follow anything but a vindicated message? Can some idiot come along here and preach and teach something? Oh, I had an experience, thank God. And the prophet said, Brother Dale, we don't go by experience. Amen. Have I taught you this long to bring you to nothing? I want to not just retire from getting off the road. I feel like just looking out the window. And don't worry, I won't say, well, you deserve me a living. You owe me a tithe or something. I won't even run off like certain preachers who have vacations on the people and say, well, I don't feel too good, and so you support me. I won't take a cotton pick a nickel out of you. When I leave, I'm gone. I believe I can make that boast stick by the grace of God. I don't want to lay it on the line. Doctrines of devil. Corruption. Doctrines of devils. Not doctrines of God. Doctrines of devils. Remember Brother Bannon cried, Methodist Baptist witchcraft. Guy didn't like me mentioning his name and saying he was a jackass, but the first thing he called told a friend of mine when he met him, he said, Lee Dale's a burnt out Baptist. I thought that was good for a laugh. Well, at least bless God they had some kind of fire. I'll put you remember, so once you knew this, how the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believe not. Well, do you think those that fell for Balaam are going to go in? Do you think those that are falling for Jezebel are going to go in? There's no way. This is separating time. Coming out of Babylon ain't nothing. If Babylon didn't come out of you. What makes Babylon? The people. What's in them? Age was kept not their first estate and left their own habitation. Hath reserved their chain, everlasting chains under darkness, under the day of the judgment, the great day, even of Sodom and Gomorrah. The cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, going after strange flesh, are set forth an example of suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Strange flesh. Dude, that is homosexuality. Men with men are strange. You bet they're strange. Likewise, filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, speak evil of dignities. There it is again. Now these are dignities, these guys themselves. Now respect to God's ministers, that's fine. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I can't even, in spite of the prophet's message, there's no way I can respect certain things that are going on. No way. I don't believe that for one minute Brother Brand said, hey, anybody stands up and preaches, you've got to stand with him. How about if God stood against him? Now, sorry to stand with the Word of God and do the best you can under any circumstance. I recognize that's what Brother Brand was saying. You can't stand with evil. Otherwise, why'd you lash out against the Baptists and Methodist Presbyterians and everybody else? See, lashing out against a thing doesn't mean you're not standing with that which is proper to stand with. Filthy dreamers. Defile the flesh, despise the dominion, speak of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, disputed about the body of Moses, did not bring a railing accusation against the Lord rebuke thee. Of course, that's the best bet right there, leaving with God. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. What they know naturally is brute beasts, and in those things they corrupt themselves. In other words, he's telling you right here, no revelation. Warn to them. Now listen, they've gone the way of Cain. The way of Cain is the complete taking out of the Scripture what they don't want. And taking that what they do want. The heir of Balaam, the greedy. The gainsaying of Korah is to elevate a gift above the Word. And to take an authority that doesn't belong to you. There's spots in your feast of charity. When they feast with you, feast in feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about with wind, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Now listen, these same guys are wolves in sheep clothing, so where's their fruit? They don't have any because it's destitute of the Word. Then how can you talk character if you don't know where it's coming from? How can you talk character where there's an angel of Satan that's transformed himself into a wonderful person? And I believe the Pope that's going to come out of America, that's the Antichrist, is going to be one of the most lovable, remarkable, wonderful men the world's ever seen. Transforming himself into a literal Christ. What if he has tremendous gifts like Judas, raised the dead? I don't say he will, but I believe he will. You tell me one reason why he wouldn't. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own chain, wandering stars. Reserved the blackness, darkness forever. Now listen, this is it, so this time, before they really make it. See, I came out, bless God, I'm sure going to make it. You better make it with the Word. This is what I'm trying to get across to the people, and they don't want it. Enoch also, seventh man, and prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh 10,000 of these saints to execute judgment upon all, to convince all their ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches and ungodly sinners has spoken against him. Now what if the proof is right? They're murmurers, repiners, complainers. They want to go back to the old religion, the old way, walking after their own lust. Their own fornication, spiritual. Mouth speak great running words. Having this person admiration because of vanity. Well, I say I'm a great man, I've got a lot of money. You got as much money as I am, you'll get by until one sickness hits you and you're wiped out. But all's good for it. To be out of debt doesn't mean you got too much. It just means you're not in debt at this minute. So therefore, if some good cause comes up, I can give 50 cents to every good cause any time at all. I can't give 50 cents to every good cause because there's not that many good causes anyway. I gave at the office. But once I pay my tithe and help people, I don't care who raps at my door. I don't care who wants what. Brother Brand said, you give, you better know to whom you're giving, he said, because you're responsible. Let's get the word of God in these things. Now, murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust. Great running words they speak. Having this person admiration because of advantage. Oh yeah, they run here and there and look good. Here's a big dog. You run to him to look good. Get this big dog in your sight. Run to that big dog. I'm afraid even little dogs, I don't much go for big dogs. Beloved, remember the words you've spoken in the apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, how they told these to be mockers the last time, who'd walk after their own ungodly lust. Now, Terry brought that up and showed you absolutely what mockers were and how it would be that the children of the bondwoman would absolutely have to come against the children of the white. They separate themselves, sensual, natural, soulic, and not in spirit. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others saved with fear, pulling out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. A guy preached on that one time, about 1975, I guess it was. And he brought it out well. He was such a merciful, wonderful guy that he was letting them know that he was here to let you know to follow him. And he'd take you to Brother Brand's promised land. I wouldn't trust him, bless God, to get me on the concrete sidewalk because I know all about him. By the time I got there, if I know him, he'd have me spiritually picked. And I'm not lying. I'm telling you the truth. And Brother Sitz, listen, I'm telling you something here. This is not a book of fables. This is not some little mishmash written up and say, now, let me describe this object to you, this thing here. Well, it's a certain thing, and I don't know if it's a bird or an animal, but it does have claws. Or does it? Now, I think it has feathers, or are those hairs that look like feathers? Now, this is a strange thing, but there's a little lesson in it for you. Because, you see, it'll tickle you, and you won't know if it's a hair or a feather doing the tickling. Isn't that brilliant? You know what? I'm going to tell you something. Let's get this flat. There isn't one person in this room, including myself, who doesn't read the Bible that way. There's something wrong with it. And that's the warning the prophet gave. You better read it the way it is written, because that's the way it's meant. And it doesn't need interpretation. It's it. Now, he said, if you pull this out of place, you're going to mess it up. This belongs to our hour. Because it mentions Sodom and Gomorrah. The last day and the flood. Not the first day. It is this day.
Amen.
Now, who is he talking to?
Lot!
Who's around us? Well, which of you people attend the First Baptist Church in Dayton that has 2,000 members? None of you? Well, well, well. So they must have what? How many would it have? Would you say, Don, 1,000 or so? Or maybe some good independent church somewhere that was truly independent, like the Hog on Ice. They were so independent they couldn't get along with anybody, not even God, so they plumb moved out and had their own system. We have a lot of those. You hear what I'm getting across in my sarcastic way? You better believe, my brother, my sister, that everybody talk about William Branham does not believe William Branham. Everybody talk about end time message. Don't believe end time message. It says right here. I'm not pointing my finger at anybody. I'm just telling you, here's what the Word of God says. Now we can go on and on. It's Revelation 18, the harlot and her daughters ready for the burning. Now what is it? It's the doctrines of devils. That's what it is. Now watch. So you'll understand. 2 Thessalonians 2, 7 to 12. For the mystery needeth already work. Only he that hindereth him is to be taken out of the way. Then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the brightness of his mouth and destroy the brightness of his presence. Even him whose presence is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Why? Because they would not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. There is no salvation in Almighty God outside a revealed word. I don't care what anybody says. You're not going to get it. Why do you think the foolish virgin missed it? Because when they're trying to get the oil, which will bring the revelation, the wise virgins have gone in. They've missed seeing him. And you've got to see him to get in. The foolish virgin can't even read the scripture right. Now, for this cause God will send strong delusion that they should believe the lie. What lie? You shall not die. See? That the all might be condemned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. What is the truth of this hour? Repent! Change your mind! You say, merciful God, I repent and I'm born again. Ha ha! If you're born again, you'll really change your mind. You get a real change of mind. You had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, let's keep reading. To get reading and understand this, we go right back to Genesis 2. And in Genesis 2, 16, 17, Lord God said, of the tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, of every tree. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat. For in the day of eating thereof dying thou dost surely die. All right. Now watch. Chapter 3. The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. And the Lord God had made. And the beast said to the woman, yea, hath God said ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat it, neither touch it, lest ye die. The serpent said, you shall not surely die. Well, that's what he said. And God doth know the day ye eat thereof, your eyes are going to be open, you'll know good and evil. When the woman saw the tree was good for food, pleasant to the eyes, the tree desired to make one wise, she took the fruit, did eat, gave her husband with her, and he ate. The eyes of both were opened, they knew they were naked, and sewed leaves together. They heard the voice of God in the garden, and they hid themselves in the presence of the Lord among the trees. Now, if you want to get away from the presence of Almighty God, let me tell you how you do it. You just hide yourself from him amongst the trees. You know, trees represent forms of life. And God hated the big tree out there that men build altars under. If you don't want the presence of God, just get yourself another religion. Get yourself another word. Just leave Brother Branham's message alone. You get rid of the presence. You catch what I'm saying? It's already been done. They were afraid. They were naked. He said, who told you're naked? Have you eaten the tree that I command you should not eat? The man said, the woman gave to me. The woman said, well, the serpent gave to me. So the fight was on. Let's go to Genesis 5. And I could read the first four verses. I won't do it. But it said in verse 5, all the days Adam lived were 930 years and he died. All right. He died. From the day of his initial sin, death and decay set in. He started to corrupt, to rot, and to die. What did it? The doctrine of the devil. Now, what is the doctrine of the devil? Atheism? Ha, don't be ridiculous. The doctrine of the devil is changing just even one word. The doctrine of the devil is the corrupted word. What did it? A false revelation. As Brother Branham said, one word off is Satan's kingdom, death, destruction, corruption, decay, abnegation, denial, frustration, complexes. Everything that contributes to misery and is miserable. Everything that is denigrating. Just one word. And it's corrupted. As one person said, the Bible said, the little fly in the apothecary's ointment spoils it. He said, notice it doesn't say a dead horse in a slough. Just a little gnat. One little word. One little beam in the eye. One little tiny flick of dust distorts the vision. One word off. One change. What did it? A false revelation. Now, with real meaning, with real meaning, understanding, nailing it down, the best I can in today's message, we go to Matthew 16 and read, beginning verse 13, when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he said, disciples, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say you're John the Baptist, some Elijah, some Jeremiah, one of the prophets. He said, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood hath not revealed to thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now Peter gave the revelation in the Holy Ghost, and the revelation of the Holy Ghost came back upon him and said, you're part of my kingdom. Now, confirming it. Okay. That is very good. We see it. Certainly wonderful. It all seems perfect with the disciples getting a revelation. But now let us read in the same chapter, verses 21 to 23. From that time forth began Jesus to show his disciples how he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. And he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Yes. For thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not of the things of God, but that which be of men. See? Now, notice it. Notice it and keep noticing it as we read Matthew 16 and 17. Flesh and blood hath not revealed it, but my Father which is in heaven. Verse 23, Satan hath revealed it. Okay, here's the scripture. What has man got to say about it? Man has got nothing to say about it. Amen. The minute man has something to say about it, you know right there he has been inspired of the devil, and it is not man, it is the devil said it. Satan's kingdom, Satan's authority, Satan's everything is interpreting that word and corrupting it. Now thank God for the end time. And we are dealing with the end time. Thank God for the end time. When it says, what will be the sign of thy appearing, your presence? And he said, oh, take heed that no man deceive you. Because many are going to come and say, look, I have the revelation. I'm the one anointed to tell you. And he said, lo, here there is Christ, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs, even lying prophets, and they'll even show great signs and wonders inasmuch as possible. They shall deceive the very elect. But they can't do it. Now it tells you right here, everything is going to rise up to make a deception. Then you tell me why a certain man out west will have a false anointed man in his pulpit. And he's got to know he's false anointed because I told him because Brother Branham told me. I don't care what the man produces. I don't care how he witnesses to Brother Branham. I don't care how he witnesses to God. I don't care what he says about the word. I am not interested. He's false anointed. Satan's kingdom. What fellowship of light with darkness? Oh, the man says, well, look, he said a lot of people in our church want healing. You mean you want to send them to hell to get healed so they'll burn forever? Now, let me add a little question here. Anybody got a box of matches? Well, let's light this lamp and let the bulb get good and hot. And I want, we don't need it, but anybody get it? If you like the little test, we get a box of matches. Who'll come up here and let me burn your finger? Well, you say, now, Brother Vail, hold it. I don't want to do that. Well, you got a little bellyache or something right now. You go to false anointed and maybe go to hell for, and burn. What are you talking about? He that seeketh to save his life shall lose it. We got a friend up there in Buffalo, Bernice Merrick, dying of cancer. And they say, why don't you go here and why don't you go there? Oh, she said, I'll never go there. I'll die first. And she died. False anointed. Not the girl, the people they want to take her to. And that's a pretty hard decision. That's pretty rough. Sure. But I'm going to tell you something. This life is pretty fleeting in the long term. But there is help for us here. Now, thank God for 2 Thessalonians. When the Antichrist is deceiving everybody, and his spirit is here, before he gets here in his incarnation, what does it say in the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians 13 and 14, 17 to the bride? But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, while the rest are damned, while they're living in pleasure, while they're deluded, while they're on their way to love the Antichrist. We're bound to give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of spirit, even belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. It tells you right there, there's only one gospel. There is only one thing that is going to give you the uncorrupted body. Paul spoke it. That's your trumpet. Now, if you say, I don't think I want that, then you go without it. See, Brother Banner said the simplicity goes over their heads. Oh, they're looking for this big thing and that big thing and that great thing, this big thing and that great thing. And Brother Branham categorically said, this ministry must be so perfect to be the perfect a ministry that Jesus Christ had when he was upon earth, the perfect parallel, the very perfect identified thing, in order for that capstone to come down upon it. And what was that capstone? Under the seven seals. Sure. But people said, oh, never mind that, never mind that. To one side, shoo, out of my way. Oh, great, wonderful, miracle ministry. Oh, great ministry. Oh, great parallel of Jesus. Oh, great, wonderful. Oh, great, wonderful. Come on, let's see the works. Let's see the works. Hold it, hold it, hold it. You don't get it that way. That only shows you what is coming. Immortality. What do you want? Healing or immortality? Well, they said the way we feel, we're going to get both. Liars, liars, deceived already by the doctrines of devils. For many will come in my name, false anointed with genuine signs and wonders, and deceive everybody but the elect. Who are those elect? Called out by a word, logos. There's two elections in there. One is eklogos, called by the word. The other is ecclesia. It's the word going to do it now. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation, good hope, and grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Now let me ask you a question. What comes first? God in the good works or the gospel? It's the gospel. You can never be established in anything until you're established first in this word. Eve never got established. She was just established. See? Okay. All right. We know positively from where corruption of the body came, corrupted word, unbelief, sin, death. How terrible is the penalty of corrupting the word? Revelation 22, 18 and 19 tells you. And here we are at the end time again, because it's tribulation time. I testify to every man that hears the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add to these things, God shall add unto the plagues that are written therein. What prophecy is that? Beginning in verse 10, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. When the seals are opened, you can once more corrupt the word of God by adding or taking. If you add, you get the tribulation. If you take, you go to the lake of fire. And both, actually. Now, there it is. I didn't write the book. I'm telling you what it says. You read it for yourself. If any man take away the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part out of the book of life of the holy city, and the things are written therein. If you're taken out away from the book of the holy city, what will you be counted with? Dogs, male prostitutes, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, who loves and makes a lie. Romans chapter 2. Here's a preface what happened before the flood. It brought destruction. Verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed in heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. There it is. 2 Thessalonians. There's your Cains. There's your Korahs. There's your Dathans, your Abirams, your Balaams, your Jezebels. Because that which may be known to God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them, thoroughly manifest and proven. For the invisible things of him from creation, the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even eternal power and Godhead, they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither with anger, came vain in their reasonings. Foolish heart was darkened. That's wicked idolatry, it says. Professing themselves to be wise, that's sophist. They became insipid. I'll puke you out of my mouth, said God. Changed the glory of the uncorruptible God in the image of made like corruptible men and to birds and four-footed beasts and things. In other words, they just simply put God in nature. They say, well, there's something out there. Who knows? Evolution. Therefore, God gave them uncleanness to the lust of their own heart, dishonor their bodies between themselves, changed the truth of God to a lie, worshipped the creature more than the creator, who was blessed forever, became social gospelites. That's all it was. Be nice, love this, love that. For this cause, God gave them the vile affections, even their women, to change the natural use and that which is against nature. Women have become lesbians. Not thespians, that's an actor. They become lesbians. Poor women, I feel sorry for them. They've got themselves messed up where there's no return. There's absolutely no return. There's no return for this earth anymore. Because all of these diseases have come through homosexuality. The rottenest diseases right now are social diseases which come by homosexuality. There's a cancer in males which cannot be cured. And now there's herpes which cannot be cured. And there's only one way to cure it, and that's burn it. You're going to die with the burning. I didn't write the book. I preach it. That's what's done it. Women had one burden years ago that men weren't gentle. They just wanted an act and got it over with and forgot to be lovely to the women. Now the women initiate it. Where are they? They're worse shape than ever. Why didn't they keep the original premise? Men, be nice to us. Men, be nice to us. Men, be nice to us. See, God loves the church. Men love their wives. Nice to their wives. And then women were fools not to bear the burden until they could change that around. They refused to do it. Now they got a system and woman types the church. The church would not listen. She's refused the love of Almighty God. She's refused His presence. As Brother Branham said, she's refused to bear spiritual children to Him. She's going to die because she's a harlot. Men with men working that which is unseemly. Even they did not retain God in their knowledge. God gave them a reprobate mind to do things which are not convenient. They did not approve of God. That's what it says right there. Did not retain God in their knowledge. They did not approve of God. That's the Exodus. Man never does approve of God. He will not approve of Him. God comes right down and says, here I am. This is good. I'm away, boy. What are these guys that want Brother Branham to come back? Here he stands knocking. Who's this knocking in my door? I'm Jesus. Out of the way, boy. Where's Brother Branham? No, I love Brother Branham, but God has got to raise Brother Branham. Listen, if I could oil up David Rockefeller, and I wanted money, and I could oil him up and get money out of him, do you think I'd waste my time on the whole bunch of you guys? You're just a bunch of no-good bums. You ain't worth a penny. Even Brother Evans has got his farm mortgage. Who needs it? Right? Who needs any of you? If I wanted money. And I could butter up David Rockefeller. Well, here's the point. I love Brother Branham. He's done his duty. He prophesied to God. He was that Elijah for to come. But don't you know that Moses had to go off the scene? So did William Branham have to go off the scene. Under the seventh seal, he categorically says, he must increase and I've got to decrease. It's happened. Now look, if God has got to raise William Branham, oh, how I wish I were William Branham, not prophet, just the nice guy that he was, just the Christian he was, well, even 50% what he was. I wish I were.
But if God has got to raise him and Paul, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to butter up Jesus.
Amen.
And you know what I mean. I am going to look to him. Now, they don't approve of him. They do not approve of him. Listen, I am giving you the Bible. I've quoted you out of Peter. They did not approve of him. I'm quoting you out of Romans. They did not approve of him. I quoted out of Jews, out of Hebrews. I show you that's exactly the pattern. Now, where do you stand today, people of God, that say you believe this message? Now, you believe I'm a teacher. You believe I handle the Scripture. I do handle Scripture. I could be a false teacher. I could handle it wrong. But I'm going to tell you one thing. Ain't no way I'm handling this part of it wrong. Because I'm cutting my throat if I'm wrong. And I'm condemning myself by my own words. And I'm against this. Because this is against God. I am for him being present. Now, if he's not present, don't ask me. Let's go to Revelation 22, 14 and 15. Blessed are they that wash their robes, they may have the right to the tree of life. Men in the gates of the city, for without are male prostitutes, sorcerers. That's druggists that give you the wrong prescription, whoremongers, murderers, adulterers, whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. That takes care of the whole gamut. That's the terrible penalty of corrupting the word. Destruction. Dismissal from the presence of God. Eventual burning lake of fire. But listen, corruptibility must put on incorruptibility and mortality immortality. I don't care what the conditions are. God said, I'm going to reverse it.
Praise God.
Now that's where we are today. Abraham stood there in the gate. About 100 years old, long flowing beard, and I guess by now his arms were skinny, and the skin hanging down here, and he was in good shape for his age, but I mean, look at that, ain't too good shape. So people say, Brother Bailey, you're good shape for your age. I say, hey, hold it, but that still ain't what I want. You gotta be kidding. So Abe might have looked pretty good there. And when he said, look, I'm gonna father a child, and this woman here, she's about 90 years old, she's gonna mother a child. They say, oh boy. He said, I don't care what anybody says, God's going to reverse it. See? All right. We've already read in 2 Thessalonians 2:13, 14, how it is. That's through the word of Almighty God. It's amplified in 2 Corinthians 2:14 to 17, which we read. But you don't handle the word of God deceitfully. If the word stands there, there's either life or death. Now, you know positively that if that word is life or death, it depends on one thing. Does a person change it? Because if it's not changed, it'll bring life. If it's changed, it's death. No way. However you look at it, it corrupts. It cannot stand the change. Now, we're talking in terms of corruptibility putting on incorruptibility. We found out what brought corruption and mortality. We found it was the corrupted word. It was the changed word. Taking from it, adding to it. It became the doctrine of Satan. It became death. I don't care how you camouflage it, it is still death. You can smell the prettiest flower in the world, but if there's a bug there waiting to bite you, you're going to get bit. And so this thing of death lay right in that word that looks so beautiful. Now, in 2 Corinthians, which we have read many times when we took the Omega Reflection. And in the third chapter, 6 to 18, it talks how that the word that was given to man, revealing man, brought death. Why? Because all it did, it couldn't bring light because it simply revealed man. It simply told what man was. See? Now, you've got this, which is the unveiling of Christ, which, with an unveiled face, will bring immortality because it says transfiguration. But notice, the face has got veiled. And when you're veiled, you can't see the word right. Now, in our time, therefore, we see what's happened. The people were veiled. Now, therefore, Paul says, seeing we have this ministry, we receive mercy, we faint not. But now watch. Have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience sight of God. But if our gospel is hid, it is hid to those that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God commanded light to shine out of darkness, shine into our hearts, and give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, let's understand this, that he is talking and telling you here that this gospel which he preached has within it the power of the last trump, wherein there will be the perfect word which God can back. And the perfect word given which God can back is going to cause corruption to cease and mortality to cease temporarily. See? Now, let's go further. We're going to read Galatians. Read the first chapter. Beginning at verse 6. I marvel you so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ to another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that troubled you that would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than which we have preached, let him be accursed. Then what about the person that hears it? He's cursed too. Alright. Do I persuade men or God? Do I please men? If I please men, I should be not a servant of Christ. I certify you, brethren, the gospel, which was preached of me is not after man. Neither received it I of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. And then he tells them, it was proven he had a real revelation. Alright. That's wonderful. But the thing is this. It got corrupted. 2 Corinthians 11. I'm jealous, or the godly jealous, I espouse you to one husband, that I may present you to a chaste virgin to Christ. Now listen, Jesus is glorified. This will take a glorified bride. Now watch, this word, if it had been in the bride, in the pure revelation, what would have happened? I'll tell you what would have happened. You wouldn't have had to wait till the end time till all the bride was in. One at a time, they'd have been glorified and just snuck off the earth. But watch what it says. I fear lest any means of serving beguiled you through subtlety, so your minds be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. Already. Already. The group was stopped from being immortalized because corruption had set in. No way could it happen. It was all over. No one, not even Paul, could evade death. He said, well, Brother Vail, why could he not evade death? Well, I'm glad you asked the question. Let's turn to this fifth chapter of 1 Corinthians verses 6 and 8, and it'll tell you exactly what it's all about. For your glorying is not good. Know ye not a little leaven? Leaven's a whole lump. Purge out therefore the leaven, you may be a new lump. For as you are unleavened, for Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Seven church ages was to have a perfect unleavened word, which in itself it is, but as soon as man handles it, as soon as it's preached, Satan's got his own crowd right there, and that word has been changed, and so therefore there cannot be at any time a bride or a group changed and going to rapture until she is come back to the original. What's the answer to this corruption? There is only one answer, and that is a return to the original word from the original revealer. And that will bring perfection. As it says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now watch. It tells you, for we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, understood as a child, and put away childish things. But now we see through a glass darkly, then face to face. I know in part, then will I be known even as I am known. Now that's the same as in 2 Corinthians. It tells you there categorically that God has promised that there will be a bride with a genuine, absolute revelation of the Word of Almighty God. It brings us right to that scripture I read a minute ago. And I'll read it to you again. But we all with unveiled faces, no more creeds and dogmas, the Holy Ghost loose to interpret the Word, are looking in a glass, and behold the glory of the Lord, and we are changed into the same image that Jesus was changed, or came, through the Holy Spirit. We'll become one with Him. Now, that takes place in Ephesians. The baptized believers, the spirit of wisdom and revelation comes into the church. The eyes of understanding are enlightened. We know the hope of His calling, the riches of glory of His inheritance. In other words, a complete revelation, an absolute understanding. Then comes the resurrection. Then comes the rapture. It is there before us. As the prophet said, when you receive the Word of God, you become the Word of God in your flesh. That is John 17:21. That we and the Father and the Son are one. How are we one? We are one through the four measures which I talked to you about in the time of the Exodus. When it is a time for the going away, there is a word for it. God comes on the scene, vindicates Himself to the prophet, vindicates the prophet to the people, brings the Word of God to the people, the promise of the hour and the prophet and God and the people are all one under covenant. See? They are been back to where they will be. Now, let's watch and you'll see what I'm talking about. Now you say, well, Brother Vail, how come that God did not work it out where that He could have a bride in every age? That little group could just go away because there are few anyway and just go away and go away. That's not how God wanted. There had to be a resurrection, but there still has to be a time when there is a group of people that get away without dying, because corruptibility, which was the corrupted word that brought the death through unbelief, has got to come to the place where a group, and remember, Adam and Eve had in that group. Their seeds were in there. The seed of this hour were there. Pardon me. Now, let's look at Revelation 22:10. And listen carefully. And he said, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Every mystery. The Word of God will now become crystal clear by the Revealer Himself. Every mystery will be known, of which one is, we are not going to die. Now watch what it says. Seal not the sayings about the time is at hand. He that is unjust still. There's your dogs, your sorcerers. He that is filthy still. That's your idolaters, your whoremongers, your liars. And he that is righteous still. And he that is holy still. And there is your bride that goes in a rapture. Now, it comes to the point. When will corruptibility, incorruptibility, overcome incorruptibility? When a bride is standing here with the perfect Word of God revealed to her. And she is no longer tricked by the devil or anybody else. And she becomes one mind. And that mind is the revealed mind of Almighty God to her, as Brother Branham thoroughly explained it. And he said, if 10 people in a bride are here at one time and understand, I'm paraphrasing now, and believe the same thing, he said, there's going to be a rapture. How will corruptibility put on incorruptibility? Just what we are to saying. A bride will be standing here that won't die, but live on and be immortal. And it will be the entire bride. As Paul said over there in the 1 Thessalonians 4, he said, we which are alive and remain. It's going to be an absolute group that is standing there. In 1 Corinthians 15:51, we shall not all sleep, we shall all be changed. In 1 Corinthians 1:7-8, it says waiting, the bride is waiting for the time of His revealing and His unveiling. And it's that time that that bride is going to be perfect in Him. There'll be no condemnation. It's the same as it is in Romans 11th chapter. When old Elijah stood there and he said, Lord, I am the only one. Evidently,
that is standing absolutely here, one with you. And God said, hold it. I got 7,000 out there that are one with me, haven't bowed the knee to Baal. See? What you've got here, brother, sister, is the understanding. It says in 1 John 3:2, now are we the sons of God. It's never yet come into being what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. We shall see Him as He is. In other words, the revealed Word. God revealed in His own Word. And those revelations, and the covenant hour, and the promise, when they become one through revelation, that's the time that death is stopped in its tracks. That's the time when you won't get older anymore. Now, see what I'm trying to get across. And here's where everybody wants to fight me. You all want to say, well, Brother Vail doesn't believe in character. Well, I'm going to tell you one thing. If your character will produce this, you tell me why you aren't gone. It's a lie right there. I don't resent the fact of being called a burnt-out Baptist because that I don't know what that means. That's just a good joke as far as I'm concerned. And I do resent a man writing a book against the predestination doctrines Brother Branham taught. So I can tell you right now, if I gave them $1 billion, is going to stand before me and tell me their character is going to get them anywhere. Because their character at this point in my books hasn't gotten them anywhere. Because I think I'm just as good as they are and I ain't no good. How near are they to God? I'd like them to prove that one. I want to prove how much fruit they got. Because what is fruit? A man's works bring fruit? There's no man living will touch what the Church Age book did. And I wrote it. I don't even consider it. I'm not interested. You say, oh, why aren't you? Because I'm not. Amen. I'm interested in nothing. I don't live in the back. I don't live in the future. I live right now. I'm interested in getting this sermon finished. I'm interested in going on to communion. I'm interested in living. Not some hogwash somebody perpetrates and spreads around the country because they think they can blab off. No, they want to stand in dignity and immense presence. What if I had taken what Brother Branham threw into my lap? The moment he died, I'd have walked to the front of the people. What kind of a big church would I had? I'll tell you. I'd had a big church. And I'd have had by so many shovels. Because where there's no ox in the crib, it's clean. Your little lift. You better hire your bulldozer. I'm not interested. I'm not mocking people. I'm just telling you, I'm not interested. No, brother, sister, we had better get our lines lined up. Doctrines of devils. Yeah. Say, you're unkind. I'm not unkind. I just preach the Bible. One word off the doctrine of the devil. If I'm off this word, I've got a doctrine of the devil. I can tell you that flat. If you're off, you've got a doctrine of the devil. And I'll tell you this, and anybody that has it will not, categorically will not. Or I don't know my Bible. Put in incorruptibility. Right. Now look, homeopathic treatment is peculiar. They believe that you get bit by a snake, they give you some more of the thing, and you get cured. I don't believe that I can ever be in the bride by multiplying error. I believe I've got to get back to being a pure word bride, or I'm not going to make it. Because Brother Brand said, God did not start a baby with a human cell, put a dog cell, and a cow cell, and a pig cell, and a cat cell. It's all human. Neither does God build a bride with anything but cell upon cell, which is a word cell. Now, the bride got off a trail every single time, and death entered through a corrupted word. That's exactly what it is. Because, you see, the word of God is life. And anything that is touched that word and changed it is no longer life, it is death. So therefore, God brings us back to the hour in which we live, where He will have, now listen, God will have a perfect word faith bride. He will have a perfect word faith bride, who says as Mary, be it unto me according to thy word. Corruptibility will be covered over
by the incorruptible word. Pardon me. And therefore all corruption shall cease in the flesh of the bride, and she will be victor over death and hell and the grave. Now, I'm going to close with this scripture and get you out of here because we took a long time. But I meant to because we're going to have to wait for communion anyway. I go to Revelation chapter 1. And I begin reading at verse 12. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And it's the seven candlesticks, one like the Son of Man, clothed with the raiment down to the foot, and girt about the pass with golden girdle. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes a flame of fire. His feet like a fine brass, he had as they burned in a furnace, his voice the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth and a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance shines the sun shines in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. He laid his right hand upon me, and said unto me, Fear not, I am the first and last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and have the keys of hell and death. Now, what is he doing at the end of the ages? He is standing here in the hour of decision. And in the hour of decision, he has a key that will open the graves and let them out. He has a key that shuts the door of death temporarily for the bride so that no one else will perish. Now, what has happened at the end time? It has happened at the end time that the bride has finally come back to being one with the Word. That's just where she's got to be. It was the corrupted word that destroyed her, and she took it and died. That was the sorcerer part, to descript the medicine. But now he himself is here revealing himself in his own word. He himself is here putting life in that word because he is the life of that word. And at this time, we have, as Brother Branham categorically said when the question asked, what does it mean when that which is perfect has come? He said, what is perfect but God? Or who is perfect but God? And what is God but the Word? And by grace, we believe that we have the perfect revelation of the Word for this hour. Now, brother, sister, that's what it says here in the Bible. Corruptibility is going to be stopped in its tracks. Death is going to be stopped in its tracks at the time the seventh church age messenger blows his trumpet. That is going to be every mystery of God open, the seals completely open, the veils completely taken off of men's face, the word thoroughly exposed, and the bride says, be it unto me according to thy word, and fully identified with that word. At the exact moment that that word is to take effect, in every single bride standing here as a group, death is suddenly going to go, stop. Every process of corruption within her is going to stop. And that word is going to then take those cells and change those cells completely so she walks into immortality. Now, that's a simplicity that people don't understand. They will tell you this. They'll say, look, Brother Vail, I agree that God is going to do it. I agree there's going to be a trumpet blown. I agree positively that there will be a rapture of people who are going to be changed. And I say, give them one question. Do you believe positively that Elijah must come and restore that word? Because that is the crux of the whole thing. And they say, in no way, because who needs it? Now you tell me, in the light of what I brought out, and I took you absolutely from Genesis to Revelation and showed you, how are you going to get back to living forever unless you get back to where you were before that word was touched by the enemy? Now, for the first time, the tree of life is exposed. How are you going to get to it? The tree of life, my brother, sister, is not the important thing we're looking at today, though it is.
The important thing is I am looking at you and you are looking at me. We're looking at each other in the light of, are we going to be immortalized? The question then comes down to this basic. What must we do, or what must happen to us? How are we going to make it? How's it going to be done? The dead have the guarantee. And yet they cannot come up without us. We have got to walk over. Then you got to go back where a man got off a trail. He got off a trail by one word that was corrupted. It was no longer the word. All right? There's a word today of immortality. And every word from the book of Genesis right to the last chapter of the book of Revelation brings you right up and up and up and up and up, and you stop right here. And the tree of life of immortality stands there. Now, how are you going to get there? How are you going to get there? So God's going to do it. On what condition? It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. The spirit is life because of righteousness, the body is dead because of sin. How are you going to get it? Now he said, I put a flaming sword there. Nobody can touch that tree. Because they cannot go there, and they cannot touch the tree in that condition. Now let's watch it. You have got to somehow get to that tree now in order to get to the condition of immortality. Because that's what it's all about. Now what's holding you? See, well, if I ate of that tree, the condition I'm in, then I'd live in that state forever. Oh, wonderful. That's exactly what God wanted the garden to be in. Just live on and live on and live on. What happened? The word got corrupted. They took a corrupted word. Then how are you going to get to the tree? I've got to have an uncorrupted word, and I have got to be in a position where that word is not corrupted in me. Now Mary stood there, and she said, be it unto me according to thy word. Abraham stood there in the presence of God, and it was the hour of the sun to come. Now, in the hour of the approaching sun, what was it? The church in Sarah had to get back to a faith which was uncorrupted. Come on, you say, Brother Bill, how do you know that? I'll tell you how I know it. By faith, Enoch was translated and was not. Rapturing faith. Where'd he get it? There's only one place, brother, sister, and that's an uncorrupted word in a bride that turns her back. Uncorrupted word, you see, manifested, expressed, so that she can go and live forever. And that's exactly where we stand today. And the people are not getting it. They will not get it. They won't take it. Now they're going to, and I write today, it's a very strange thing. They'll talk about the word restored. They'll talk about this. They'll talk about that. They'll talk about God raising the dead. But they can't put the two together. And they can't put the two together. The revelation is gone. There is no way in my understanding that this thing can happen except the way the prophet laid it out, the way we see it. Okay? The Lord bless you. Let's rise. Heavenly Father, we're glad today that we ourselves are not as though we would place ourselves amongst those who must do something which would be basic and pertinent to that principle wherein the word says incorruptibility must be put on over corruptibility. And this mortality must now dress itself in immortality. And Lord, we realize exactly where corruption came from, what it is all about, and where it is leading. And we know, Lord, at this hour, that you have brought us to a place of an uncorrupted word. We believe that, or you would not have had a prophet in this hour where it could be said absolutely of such a prophet that if we add to the word or take away, we have condemned ourselves. But Lord, with the seals open, the same prophet said everything in those seals was there to put a bride in a rapture. And it would be rapturing faith because Enoch walked with God and was not because God took him. That was the faith of Enoch. And Lord, we know there is a rapturing faith. And we believe it is here today based on a pure revelation of a pure word, which we become the word of God in our flesh as we receive it, which we have. Knowing therefore, Lord, we are putting on immortality at this very hour, and nothing will stop us from going in. Now, Heavenly Father, we want to say we're very grateful for what you've done amongst us, that you have the life of the people, the joy of the word, the understanding, the illumination, all of these things, Lord, which contribute to the dynamism of faith, contributing, Lord, to the reality of that dynamism which signifies a word of God coming to life within us, showing forth also the power of that word which we have seen demonstrated, though we cannot understand it, just simply don't understand it, just know that it happens. All the more convinced, Lord, that this is something which in its turn will be more and more in the bride and signifies that sweet spirit coming into the bride. All these things, Lord, showing that we are fast approaching the hour. We are right here at the end of this all when we are going to be caught away. And we're thankful for it. Now, Lord, we do have within us always this cry of a closer walk and of a closer identity and a closer communication. All of these things, Lord, we do not hesitate to say we believe that we should have, and in a greater measure than ever, though we know it won't do what you and your sovereign dictates have said will be done and how it will be done, and then you performing the final act of putting us all together in a resurrection and a rapture. But Lord, we would love to be part where Paul said, if you live in the Spirit, walk in it. And Lord, we do so want to walk more and more into that Spirit of God not just understanding the Word as it is so clearly said, to not just be hearers, but to be performers. And we want to be, Lord. We want everything changed about us in a spiritual progression. We want to have a strong backbones. We want to have strong and steady hands, swords that draw blood. We want all these things, Lord, but neither do we want to be uncouth, unkind, or in any way outside of the will of Almighty God. We want to be right. Help us, Lord. Forgive us of our sins. Keep us in a state of constant repentance and change of mind. Keep us there, Lord, in the center of your hand, in the eye of your heart, Lord, in the way of God, so that our lives will be exemplary. We long for that, Lord. We know that they never will be what we want, and nor what you want on this side of the curtain of time. But, Father, there is a progression, we believe. We hunger and thirst after a closer walk, a deeper life with you, Lord, where all of these things go by the board, we know are not right within us. To have purer longings and passions, to have greater understanding, to have a sweeter fellowship, to have all these things that are so vital. We're asking for them, Lord, and we know that there is no way you cannot hear our prayer, because your own servant said, if we know that you hear us, we know that, and ask according to your will, we know that you've got to listen and do something about it. So, Father, that we're here today absolutely one heart and mind in this, that John did not lie to us, and he did not say something that you did not give him to say, that this is true, that you hear us, Lord, and we get the petition we desire. And certainly it's a wonderful thing to rest on, to know that we can progress in grace unto the very glory of God. Now, Father, help each one here with any need that's extant amongst us. Lord, we all got needs. And we have needs within our bodies, within our minds, within our homes, within our financial fields, all these things, O God. Surely, Lord, we are all a needy people, but there is in your word, which sometimes will give us some testings, there is that promise in there that you will answer our prayers. You will answer our needs and supply our needs by your riches and glory. You surely will, Lord. I don't know how I can praise you enough, and I'm so glad you put it into my heart, Lord, how to trust you and what to do, because I do not claim anything of myself. There's no way that I do. I just thank you, Lord, and I praise you that you made it possible that in a small way, not in, we know it's that I'm no philanthropist, and and no foundation with vast sums of money, but you've made the Lord in the last few years able so that I'm able to live and able to help and able to do and I love to do it. I'm so glad that I can do it, Lord. And if a day ever comes when I can't do it, I know that's going to be all right too, because you've always told us, well, if you can't do it, you can't do it. And I appreciate that. I just appreciate you so much, Lord, for everything, and can't express it enough, but I still hunger and thirst for more of the light of God, the life of God, the truth of God, more of His way, and more of a dedication than ever before, because this is what we really want to settle ourselves down to now, Lord, to just come right down, gear ourselves down to a position where we are in the line of a communication, open wire, open communication, Lord. Your heart to our hearts, your lip, as it were, to our ears. These inner revelations, the Word of God coming to life. Oh, Father, it's just so precious. It's just so precious. Now, may we have fellowship together, Lord, as is granted unto us, and coming together for the service later, taking the emblems, Lord, washing feet, and just going on with you. It's just wonderful. We cannot praise you enough. We feel sorry for those that couldn't be here. We pray for them, Lord. Bless them, whatever reason they couldn't be here. Just help them, oh God, and make it up to them somehow, and make it up to us too, because we miss them very, very much. It's not, Lord, that if they're not here, you're not here. It's just that you are here, and we wish they were here too. And we appreciate that. So we commend everyone that's sick amongst us to you, Lord. May they be well enough to get to work tomorrow and get up and be strong. They're good servants of yours, Lord. They love you, and they would be here, but sick is sick. And maybe, Lord, we just ought to be more on the ball like you when you just raised up Peter's mother-in-law. Maybe it's just we just ought to get a little further down the line now to just pray prayers of faith. And we're open for that too, Lord. We're open for it too. We really are. If there's somebody here, Lord, that's got that kind of little moving in their hearts, could be someone here with that measure of faith in praying for sick, some person, because we know that every single one has something from you. And we just pray, Lord, there's someone here that person will be aroused to just use that faith that's there to operate what has been given to help the people of God. Any way, Lord, that anybody can be used, we just pray that you'll help your people to begin to see, look, this is life. This is the body of Christ. This is rich and real. And there are many things here that we can come into and knowledge and enjoy. So, Father, we commend everyone to you and commend ourselves, Lord. And we're just so grateful, so happy for your presence, your love, and your goodness and glory in it, Father, and appreciate the people. And unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Okay, let's sing, Oh, How I Love Jesus. Norm, start us.
How I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me.
You know, I'd certainly hate to be in a position to have seen the work of Brother Branham, to see this great ministry, and then come to the place where I would think that which is perfect has not come. You know that leaves you spinning your wheels. You're here at the end time. How are you going to make the rapture? How are you going to make immortality? We showed you today what caused corruption. Now you're not going to get away from it until you get rid of the root which caused that corruption. You are not going to put death off. There is no way. I don't care who you are. You know, so see, that unbelief, that sin lay in there. One word off. Now, don't get your mind saturated and start thinking, well, hey, am I adding or am I taking? You know, if I was doing that as a minister, and I had to fill my mind with those negative thoughts that, hey, look, I don't know where I stand. You know, I wouldn't preach anymore. I'd quit. I'd be a jackass. You think me calling somebody spiritual jackass is bad? I'll tell you what, I better call myself 10 times worse. Now, I don't call somebody spiritual jackass just because I think I got something they don't. I'm not talking about that here. I'm laying it on the line that, look, I believe what I'm talking about. I believe that's here. And I believe I've got very good reason from what this word has done, is doing, and will do to say, look, this is it. Now we're getting out of here. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Looking to the one that authored it, which was perfect, then looking to the one that finishes it, it's the same perfection. See? And he's got to get us back. Well, I believe that today he's going to get us back. I believe that which perfect has come. And I don't believe it's a matter of whether I can figure it or whether I'm guessing it. I believe I know it. I believe I know the Word of God. I believe I know what the prophet said. And I believe myself, if there's anything that's off the beam, I believe that, as the prophet said, the word will correct the error. Now, I believe the seals, when the book was opened, what was in the seals then opens the book to us. Now, it doesn't mean when those seals are ripped off, you, hey, I can open this book now, boy, have I got something, I can go to this book and I'll get it all. No way, shape, or form. It's what the prophet said that opens the book. See, now a lot of people got an idea. So I just want to encourage you. You don't have any negative ideas. I preach pretty strong sometimes, might make you think a little negative. It's not to make you be negative one little bit. I want you to see that side out there. We're not on that side. We're right here where we stand with the Word of God that has no doctrines of devils in it. Jesus said, I got no part with the devil. How could he say that? Because there wasn't one word he was on. How are you going to have a part with the devil? The way you get a part with the devil is to have a word off. Now, this is the thing going to take us back. I believe we're on the way. The Lord bless you. Just saying, take the name of Jesus with you, and I guess we're going to have a Sabbath or something. Take a little time for this fellowship. Here we have the sun goes down and we go into communion, which shouldn't be too long. I think that, what does the sun set around us? 5:30 or 6 o'clock. It's not going to set too early. So all right, you've got all kinds of time. Take the name of Jesus. Start it off and we'll just call it a day.
Take the name of Jesus with you, child.